Houston, we have a problem for episode number 21 of the Retro Rewind podcast.
Retro Rewind podcast initialized. Mission identified. Apollo 13, 1995. Co-hosts online. Auditory analysis online. All systems nominal.
Welcome to the Retro Rewind podcast. This is the podcast where we look at movies and video games from 15 or more years ago and let you know whether they're still worth revisiting today. You can find the show notes for this episode at retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP21. And there you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or with any podcatcher via our handy dandy RSS feed. My name is Francisco Ruiz. I'm a dad, a designer, and I have damaged oxygen tanks.
Oh, no.
And I am joined, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Paul Powers. Welcome, Paul.
Hello.
Hello. My question for you this time is, growing up, did you want to be an astronaut, a firefighter, or something else?
Yes.
Okay. What would make the top of the list?
Between the two or between the three?
Let's go between the two.
Astronaut.
Okay, cool. And we are joined this time by my lovely wife, Christy Ruiz, who you've heard many times before.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello there, Governor.
I thought you were going to say, hello, mate.
No, I don't do Australian quite as well as I do.
Cockney.
Well, yeah, British, Cockney, both.
So I'm going to ask you the same question, Christy. Growing up, did you want to be an astronaut, a firefighter, or something else?
A cowgirl.
A cowgirl. Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
But I wrote down on my little sheet that they make you, like that little sheet of get to know me that they make you fill out. In first grade or second grade, I think it was first grade, I wrote cowgirl instead of a girl, so...
That is there any money to be made being a cowgirl?
No, it's mostly hard work. And you might be able to, I guess with your skills, you might be able to be a Ferris or...
like a Bueller?
No.
What do you mean a Ferris?
Yeah, I didn't know what Ferris was.
I'm pretty sure that's how you say it, I think.
I don't know.
Well, what do they do?
Oh, man, now. Put shoes on horses.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Oh, dang.
A blacksmith.
Well, okay. You can go ahead and go to iTunes and rate this podcast 5 stars and correct me if I'm wrong.
Good point. Yes. If you're not sure how to do that, just go to retrorewindpodcast.com/iTunes RRP. That'll take you right to our listing in iTunes and you can rate and review us.
That was a great little commercial, but the point that I was trying to make was that you might be able to make money if you were innovative, but it's a lot of hard work and you would just do it because you like it or love it.
Very nice.
At least that's what I heard here. I don't know.
On the podcast.
Well, welcome, Christy. We're very glad to have you back.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right, Paul, tell us what we're going to be doing today, please.
Today, we're going to be not talking on topic at all, kind of straying every which way we can as we talk about our roundtable discussion on the movie, decide whether it's a classic or second-class rating. And then we might get to a new tube segment. And if you're still around, we might come up with some feedback and some contact information.
Very good. Thank you so much, Paul. Alice, why don't you tell us if you found our target this time?
Alert, alert, target located. Spoilers incoming. Engaging retro rewind reactor.
Boom.
It was the dawn of a new age. The start of another perfect mission.
This is the crew of Apollo 13.
Until something happened.
Houston, we have a problem.
That made America remember.
What do you mean there's no immediate danger? Can they get back?
How big an adventure could be.
Failure is not an option.
Tom Hanks.
How long does it take to power up the limb?
3 hours by the checklist.
We don't have that much time.
Apollo 13, rated PG. Starts Friday, June 30th.
Yes, Apollo 13. Paul, will you read us the technicals about this movie?
Sure. Apollo 13 came out on June 30th, 1995 in the U.S. of A. It's directed by Ron Howard and stars Tom Hanks, Bill Paxton, Kevin Bacon, Gary Sinise, Ed Harris, and a bunch of other people, including...
Cliff Howard, right?
That's who I was thinking. Ron Howard's little brother, Cliff Howard. Which is actually probably, this is probably my favorite role that he's ever done.
Oh, cool.
Much better than the prejudiced hillbilly in Waterboy.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Paul.
Yeah. The composer, do you know who the composer was?
I don't, but I like the music.
Yeah, it's James Horner.
Oh, okay.
He's also known Francisco.
Right. He's also known for Titanic, Avatar, and Braveheart.
Mm-hmm.
Amongst a ton of uncredited conductors.
Oh, throughout. Interesting.
Yeah, according to IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see. Anyway, this movie had a budget of around 50 to 60 million and made about 355 million in the box office worldwide.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
So I guess,
and it runs 140 minutes.
Alrighty. Well, thank you for all those technical details, Paul.
Distributed by Universal Pictures.
Okay. And so our memory synopsis this time is a memory mind meld of from Paul, Christy, and me. So here it goes. Tom Hanks and two other astronauts are super pumped to go to the moon, but one tests for the flu and has to be replaced by Kevin Bacon. Tom Hanks at least gets his chance, though. The astronauts launch into space just fine, but then an oxygen tank explodes. Boom. Houston, we have a problem. And they have to figure out how to stay alive and get home to Earth while one of them struggles with a UTI, or urinary tract infection. Finally, when you think they have burned up in reentry, they radio Houston and they are barely alive. Or are they all? It ends sad for some reason.
You don't know why?
Well, that was just our memories.
Oh, and okay.
Since a lot of that is not quite right.
Oh,
I'm surprised what you did remember, because it was more than I did. Ow!
Sorry about that. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
What?
You were thanking me for remembering so much, or saying good job for remembering so much.
I confused, I don't know, two different movies.
Well, do you want to share that? I didn't want to out you, hun, but if you would like to share.
I want to come clean because I was like, I remember, Apollo 13. And then you're like, what's your memories? And I'm like, Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Somebody got sick and I thought for sure it was a UTI, but I don't know why. What movie am I remembering that from? And then I thought it was sad, but then I was confusing it with Armageddon. Armageddon was sad.
Yes.
For some reason.
Because Bruce Willis dies. Spoiler alert.
Do you're supposed to say spoilers beforehand? Golly.
Well, yeah. Sorry, I don't know my spoiler etiquette.
It's just, I felt bad. Like I poorly remember the movie, so that made the, I don't know. I don't know what I say.
It's like you got to see it again for the first time.
That didn't sound weird.
All right, guys, before we get started, let's do our quick fire predictions for whether we think it's Apollo 13 was a classic or second class. Christy?
Classic.
And Paul?
Classic.
And I thought it was going to be a classic as well.
Well, who wouldn't? I mean, it was nominated for 9 Academy Awards. Didn't win any. Well, it won 2.
We're going to read later how one of the people that posted on our Facebook comment didn't seem to really care for it. So we'll get into that later, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, guys, let's talk about our loves of Apollo 13. Or were there any? Paul, let's start with you.
Oh, we're doing what we love first? Darn yes. it. good acting, especially on the part of Ed Harris, I thought. He just has this presence of, like, someone in authority of, like, look, don't mess with me. I thought he did an excellent job coming in his performance. Performance all around. At first, I thought the performance of Tom Hanks's character at the beginning, like the first 20 minutes, was kind of weird. Maybe even the first 40 minutes. Just kind of not as into it as the last half. But stellar performance by all of them. So I think that was probably my favorite.
Okay.
I guess.
Christy, what did you think about the performances?
They were middle of the road. They weren't really, like, when I think of Apollo 13, I don't think of performances. So they weren't so memorable that that's what I remember when I think. But I don't think that they were bad. They were.
What do you remember? Other movies?
No, I remember enjoying it. I remember the feeling of like, oh, I really enjoyed that from when I saw it for the first time. But what I mostly remember is the music, the soundtrack, which, it's Mr. Horner. So of course I remember it. I had a couple of songs on a CD, a mix CD that I made back in the day, but that's cool. And that's the thing that, I don't know. That and the stupid figure skating thing that I couldn't find. I searched for like 2 hours today. I have this memory of a male figure skater, one of the more prominent ones. And I thought it was Brian Boitano, but I'm pretty sure it isn't now. But he was wearing what was supposed to resemble an astronaut's uniform or something patriotic. And he skated to the Apollo 13 soundtrack. And I loved it. And that was probably my favorite things connected to the movie was that memory. And I couldn't find the video because I was going to post it somewhere. But yeah, I looked. It wasn't for lack of trying. Oh my goodness, I looked.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
It sounds like fun.
Yes.
But that wasn't actually part of the... Well, I guess the song was.
Yeah, the song was. And I wanted...
Well, that was my memory, was the soundtrack. Yeah.
And I wanted to comment on the performances also. I actually liked them. I thought everyone did a really good job. I'm certainly not an actor, so I don't really know what to look for necessarily. But I was totally invested in all of them. There were a few corny things that a few corny lines I thought.
Those were the best.
Sprinkled, well, like for instance, one of them. Well, I'll save it for the things
what you didn't like.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I like Tom Hanks and his wife. That those characters, Jim Lovell and his wife. I liked
their relationship.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like their relationship.
Yeah, totally.
Especially when he was like at the very beginning when he's all drunk and he goes over and, I don't know, starts snuggling with her. I thought that was really cute.
It's really cute. It's, and it feels like, oh, they're really married, which is awesome.
They're not pretending. They really are.
They're good. They're acting really well.
Oh, it makes you forget that this is a movie.
Exactly, yes.
Oh, okay.
Christy, what was so the song you really liked? Was there anything else you really enjoyed about this movie?
I like it overall. I like the slow arc of like their after the oxygen tank blows. Just that it's not. It's like movies now. They hike you up to this really high, intense. I think I might have a panic attack or a heart attack or a brain aneurysm because I can't handle the stress. And you laugh just out of sheer need to release some sort of emotional. Like this movie seems like it was intense, but it wasn't so intense that you needed to, like, I don't know, like run a mile and then come back and finish the rest of it. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I liked how real it seemed too. Mm-hmm. Even though it was an older movie. Even though it was an older movie, there was a few things where you're like, roll your eyes at the special effects, but then you're like, whatever. But when they're up in space. But
some of the special effects were good.
Yeah, but
I'd say most of them were, in my opinion.
Okay.
But there were a few scenes that I agree with Christy. I was like, that if they were to if they were to watch it today, they wish they could have redid this scene here.
Sure.
I'm mostly talking like the explosion of the rocket when it launches. There was obvious like real
CGI.
Yeah, something. But I really like, I also liked how they showed mission control and everybody working and just the innovativeness of these guys in mission control.
Totally.
And made you think like, holy cow, there's so much that goes into like not just like everything. I don't know. I guess, does that make sense?
Yeah. I want to share, we got some Facebook feedback, and I want to share because it goes right along with that. Katie Arb, who you have also heard on the show, said, "My favorite part was the MacGyverness of their getting home. It made me really in awe of the scientists."
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, totally. And also, I want to share on that note, Josh Powers, Paul's brother, who also has been on the show, best scene in the whole movie is when Ed Harris and the guys get in that room and build the device based on what's available in the ship. They're talking about trying to fit that square peg filter into the round hole filter socket.
Yeah, the MacGyvering it.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for Ed Harris doesn't do that.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, Josh.
Incepted Josh.
Yeah, but he does say, make it happen.
Yeah.
I was about to go with Jean-Luc Picard, make it so.
Well, that would be just
wrong
epic.
Space movie.
Yeah.
Something I sort of alluded to. I was really invested into all the characters, and I was surprised at how invested I got into the story, even though I'd seen it before.
Yeah, me too.
And something I really liked about Jim Lovell's character in particular, or at least Tom Hanks played him, was he didn't get sucked into the superstition of it being Apollo 13. Like leading up to the launch, all these little weird things like his car not starting or stopping in the middle of the road and little things like that.
Oh,
happened.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he wasn't like, oh man, the world's coming down. Maybe I shouldn't be on this mission. He was like just passing it off like, oh, this stuff happens. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Was there something else you'd loved or liked, Paul?
The story overall.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very touching, got to get through this story, feel good ending based on history. And I was also invested into the characters so much by the end that I was tearing up like Ed Harris was tearing up.
It was really cool how sort of taking off what you said, Chrissy, the overall arc. And it certainly was a more gradual arc than some movies today where it's almost like a thrill ride roller coaster.
Yeah.
This was like, oh my gosh, it gets to this high point and then they keep running into issues that they have to solve, which is cool.
Yeah. I cried at the end too.
Aww.
Well,
was the ending something else you loved, or was there something else?
I liked it all. I liked the ending. That makes me happy. Mm-hmm. It was a nail biter. It was like watching it for the first time with this vague, foggy memory of it.
That you'd seen it before.
Yeah, but it really, I liked, I don't know. It was enjoyable.
All right, I'm just going to go through some things that I loved. I'm curious what you guys thought about this. I really love that they filmed so much of the scenes in space in the I think they call it the Vomit Comet, which is this big airline that goes in big arcs and it allows for you to actually experience zero gravity, and that they filmed so much of the movie that way. I thought was really cool.
Well, yeah, but... Yeah. So like throughout the movie, there were a couple points here I was thinking that, because it's like, oh, they probably filmed this on that airplane. I was like, I wonder how long they were up there. Because it's only like a couple seconds, right, per shot?
Yeah, it is. That's what I was thinking when you mentioned that, or I read it or something. I was like, but that's only a few seconds. You get like, I think it's even less than 30 seconds that you get, or that about that time. And then they have to go back down and then back up again.
Yeah.
Could you imagine filming that?
Oh, I know.
Like, do they not have something that's zero gravity, that's stationary, that you just walk into and turn on zero gravity? Like,
yeah, it's called outer space.
You just walk into it and boom.
Can you imagine how much they're getting paid to do this?
Oh, geez. I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know.
Big actors, but yeah, I think that is certainly amazing that they put themselves through that. I mean, you hear about actors nowadays that like train for months with Marines or what have you to do whatever war movie they're going to do. But this seemed like it's certainly difficult in a different way, but I appreciate that they went through that difficulty.
Yeah.
I like Gary Sinise.
Gary Sinise was really good. I wrote down actually that I surprised that. Where did I? Oh, I wrote down all these actors are just so good. I really like their performances, apparently.
But Kevin Bacon was fine, but Kevin Bacon seemed like the annoying teenager in the background. You just kind of want to like go, can you leave the movie? Because what are you here for?
But
Jim Lovell can fly this. Go away.
No, but
I enjoyed Kevin Spacey in this.
Kevin Spacey?
No, I'm sorry. Kevin Bacon.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Get Lex Luthor on your mind.
Interesting to know, however, that Ed Harris was nominated as Best Actor in a Supporting Role, but actually lost to Kevin Spacey in Usual Suspects.
Oh, interesting. Yes. Okay.
Anyway, Kevin Bacon. This is one of my better, in my opinions, better performances of Kevin Bacon's characters. Usually in movies, especially lately, he's been playing more villains, and I like to see him more be a good guy than a bad
totally,
guy.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, then I just haven't seen Kevin Bacon in much of anything except for that one movie with the giant worms in the ground.
Oh yeah,
Tremors.
Yeah, so maybe that's a really bad like basis.
I think that's a great movie, but
Tremors.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, that,
we should do that.
We should do it. Yeah. Moving on back to Kevin Bacon though, I didn't like his like when Fredo, Bill Paxton's character, accuses him of doing something sketchy or not very professional with the oxygen tanks. I don't like how he's gets really defensive and really whiny. I think that's probably the part you're talking about, Christy.
And the woman.
Oh really?
Oh well, there's that too. But
getting all locked up in space and for hours and days and no sleep, someone's gonna get whiny and a little sensitive. You think that?
I actually appreciated that tension that they created.
Well, what I was gonna say though was I really liked that they didn't stay there. Like Tom Hanks, Jim Lovell, I'll say, talked them both down. And I don't know how much of this is dramatized and how much was real, but talked them both down. And they built trust. They rebuilt trust really quickly after that. It's really cool to see. Typically, a lot of movies, they may start trusting each other at the very end. Like if they had returned to Earth, then they would trust each other. But they realized, hey, we got to really depend on one another here. And they didn't second guess one another after that, which was I really liked.
As opposed to Johnny finally trusting the Karate Kid at the very end.
Yes, exactly. You're all right.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Paul, did you have anything else?
Just a comment on that. One of the things they say it takes to be an astronaut is level-headedness. Mm-hmm. You have to be extremely. They test for that to be an astronaut. So you have to be extremely high. So it makes sense to me that they would resolve quickly because they depend on each other quickly in these certain circumstances.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, that's what you reminded me. That's what I was going to say before was the constant, like, I don't know. I don't like those kind of like big hero-y military astronaut Coast Guard thing.
Like no. Armageddon.
Yeah. I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'm not like, I don't know if I could be strong enough to do that. I'm certainly don't think that at this current stage of my life, I'm level headed enough. So when I watch things that involve that, oh, I'd be in a big muddy pile of tears and vomit and all other form of bodily fluids because I don't think I can handle that physical exertion of being shot in space. But just all this stuff that they have to do. And then suddenly they like whip out a big old fat notebook and they start doing what, like quantum mechanics? I don't even know what math they were doing. And I was like,
yeah,
I think my brain is hurting right now. What? Yeah. Math, why, huh? Do they have to write that in space? They have to write, they have to do math equations?
Just
What? I don't understand. Oh my gosh. It just sort of blew my mind. I don't think I understood a lot of that when I watched it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Watching it now made me appreciate astronauts in general, plus the guys acting the astronauts.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way they portrayed that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I believed.
Anyone that's, sorry to cut you off. Okay. Anyone that's interested in sort of the space program on the whole and sort of where it got to when we got to the point where I believe it was Columbia was the last space shuttle that blew up and how it stranded three guys on the International Space Station for a time. I would highly recommend the book Too Far From Home. And it's the main narrative is about those three guys being trapped on the ISS. But the author goes into a lot of the sort of backstory and what it takes to be an astronaut and the, some of the Apollo programs and the shuttle program. It's just really interesting. If you're not, I read it originally thinking that it was going to be a story just about the guy stranded, but it's actually a lot more in depth about NASA in general. So don't, if you go in knowing that, I think it's a much more enjoyable read.
What's that title again?
Too Far From Home.
Is it true that in space no one can hear you scream?
I suppose.
Well, yeah. If you open up your helmet to scream, then you're dead anyway.
Yes, exactly. Let's see. I think that's the main things I liked. Was there anything else you really liked or loved, Paul? Or actually, I asked you already, but go ahead.
The mouth came out of the alien twice.
Oh my gosh!
No, I'm joking.
Christine, was there anything else you liked?
No, we can move forward.
Okay.
Was there anything else that you liked, Francisco?
Well, I think I covered it. I mean, I think we've all covered it. I liked the music. I really liked the ending voiceover. Epilogues.
Oh yeah, what it says what happened with
exactly.
Each character.
You don't get a lot of that in movies, and
yeah,
so that was nice. And I loved how the movie would sometimes build to these, it'd be really ruckusy, especially at Mission Control, and then all of a sudden it'd get really quiet, and then usually Zed Harris would just say something, and then it'd get really ramp up in chaos again, but it was a more focused chaos. Thought that was really cool how the movie showed that.
Yeah.
But guys, I guess it's time to get to those things we hated about Apollo 13. Who would like to start?
I hated this movie.
Okay, so Paul hated this movie.
Sad day, Paul. Do you like any movies?
He reads classics all the time. He must like movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I listen to the podcast.
I like Star Wars, Back to the Future, Goonies.
Oh, those are good.
Cray Kid.
One of the things I didn't like about this movie is that it was too long and too slow at the beginning. Oh my gosh. I was like the first 40 minutes, maybe even the first hour almost, I was bored out of my skull. I even went on to like check Facebook and went all these other things. I was like, it wasn't until Kevin Bacon shook the canisters of oxygen and exploded. And then I became interested.
Really? Even so, the whole launch and stuff. That
was. Well, I mean, I was watching it. I thought, I was like, all right, this is cool. This is cool. You know, and then it would be slow again. And I was like, it's like, this is why I haven't seen this movie in years. Because, yes, it's a good story, but it's so long to sit through. Mm-hmm. In fact, there are times I almost debated turning it off at the beginning going, you know what? It's a classic story, but I just really didn't want to put the time and effort into it.
Wow.
Yeah, there's some stuff in the beginning. I don't know why do they need that much setup, I guess. I guess you needed all that setup. One of the parts
for people that don't know that about the Apollo program, I think is
a I think it was fine. It didn't bother me. Yeah. Of course I knit when I watched most of these movies, so that's why I knit, cuz then if I didn't, I think I'd be like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. but it wasn't like the whole time I wasn't there wasn't that sense of when do we get to the part where the thing blows up? But there's this one part where they're training to get the little potty thing, the pod out of the hatch, and they gotta line it up and fly it in.
Oh yeah, the potty thing.
Pod D, not potty. Pod D, pod thing. Whatever. Deal with it. they're like, whoa. I'm going to do it again. And then they're like standing there having this discussion about whether or not the backup team is going to go in, and the backup team's standing there awkwardly. And I'm like, is this showing your work ethic? Or
yes. Well,
you're not even like on the flight. And
no, he was like still on you, it by then. Yeah. Gary Sinise had not been
no, later. Like, well, good for because you. So then later in the movie, we know you're going to work hard and save the day. Like,
no, it creates the frustration of, man, I wish he was on that mission, because you know his work ethic is to get it just right. And it's like, dang it, I wish Lieutenant Danton was here.
Oh, I don't associate him with Lieutenant Dan. I associate him with CSI New York. I think that's
what interesting. I associate him with Harry Truman.
I haven't seen that either.
Oh. What?
It was a TV miniseries. Anyway.
All right, then. Why did they not resolve the illness that's still bothering me? Did
he said he never got the measles.
No. At the end, it said...
No, the guy.
Oh,
this guy that
Game
was
Over Man,
sick.
Game Over? Bill Paxton's
character. Yes. Why? Why did they not ever say what he had? They said something about getting the clap, but A, I don't know what that means, and B, was he choking? And C, if not, why didn't they say, like, oh my gosh, let's rush this man to the hospital, he had a temperature of 100?
I think they were all getting carbon dioxide sickness.
Oh, what? No, but a clap is not carbon dioxide.
Yeah, I think it's chlamydia, yeah.
He had an STD?
I think that's what he was joking about,
yeah. I think Kevin Bacon gave me the clap because he has this woman in a report thing.
Yeah, and he used the same pee pose.
Yeah.
Well, that was a joke, right?
Well, okay, but they never resolved it. That's my point. So am I supposed to take seriously that he came home and he's like, yay, I'm home and I have an STD. Like, what? Or did he, like... I got an STD in space.
I think it's more important to be home than worry about the STD at that point.
But he had a temperature of over 104, and that's really serious, and they don't ever say anything about it. They're like, take 2 aspirin and give me a call later. Like, what?
No, they just take the, you know, the measurement things off and leave me alone. Let me be sick. All right, fine.
Yeah, but why not resolve it?
They made a huge
deal about it. They could have done something in the epilogue. They made a huge deal about him being sick, and it just bothers me that they didn't resolve it.
It's like the flu. You get over it.
Paul, you're the one that said you hated this movie. I'm allowed to complain about that.
Apparently, I didn't pick up on that. I was too bored.
Oh, gosh.
All right, Francisco, your turn.
Yeah, it's funny. Most of the things that I did not like, we kind of already touched on. I don't like that. Oh, this is one thing we didn't touch on. I don't, and this isn't really about the movie. This is about us as United States
society.
Teams. or society.
United Statesians?
It's gonna catch on. Because we're not Americans, because Canadians are Americans, so are people from Chile.
Exactly. Anyway, I don't like that we don't... That even now, people get bored with the space program and everything that goes into...
You know why? You know how long it takes to go from here to the moon?
4 days.
Yeah, boring. You ever been on a car ride?
But it's crazy. I mean, we saw in the movie just how much stuff people have to know and how much science goes into all of it and all the danger that's inherent in it. I feel like it's sad. And I do this too. I'm as guilty of it as anyone, of just thinking that it's just this thing that we do and it's not a big deal that we go into space or launch missions. But it is a big deal.
Oh, okay. It is a big deal. Yeah. I think most people agree, but what don't you like about this movie?
That it's not really about the movie. It's just that
it was sparked by the movie.
In like the beginning, when everything's going okay, people are like just watching baseball. Even in Mission Control, they're not putting them on TV because no one really cares about the space program anymore. And then when things go bad, then that's when everyone has interest.
Oh yeah, then you have the Pope's attention.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I liked that. That was something I liked, and I forgot to say it.
Oh, yeah. The whole...
like praying?
Yeah.
That Congress or whatever passed an amendment
to... Congressional proclamation.
To pray? I was like, you did.
Yeah, I had not thought that Congress would have ever done that, but I thought that was cool, yeah.
They did that all the time at the beginning of the country.
Sure, yeah.
So that they do it now, too, during... like during 9/11 and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think they should. That's great.
So that's what you didn't like about the movie?
Wow.
Okay, I'll run down. There's that. The CG effects that from the launch looked a little CG. Kevin Bacon's character again whiny at Fredo when he accused him of doing something wrong with the oxygen tanks. A few of the lines were cheesy, and having the end at the end, isn't needed. I thought that was stupid.
What wasn't needed, and what cheesy lines?
What? How did the end at the end wasn't needed?
Yeah, they put the words "the end" before the credits rolled. You don't need that.
Okay, maybe they did in 1995.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
They also start movies differently now than they used to, so...
Yeah, George Lucas got fined $150,000 for Star Wars for not putting the credits at the beginning because he wanted the crawl and put the credits at the end. Nowadays, movies, they don't have credits at the beginning.
Yeah, they don't.
So, the end.
Yes, that was awesome, Paul. Good job.
The few cheesy lines, I wish I'd wrote them down. One of them was one of Ed Harris's lines, I think.
This will be our best, our finest hour.
I love that line. I love, I can't remember it. It was something really, it wasn't a line. It was just sort of an off line.
It was out of character for him, you felt?
No, it was like an obvious line. Like, Christie has this thing, this is a huge
digression. Wow, you're pointing out Christie. It's like, speaking of cheesy lines, Christie has this.
It's
thing.
Okay, Paul. I am cheesy.
No. In Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yes. Legolas.
Which is it? Return of the King?
It's the last one.
Return of the King.
The horses are frightened and the men are scared. Durr.
No, that's not the one.
They're taking the hobbits to Isengard.
No, Legolas says, it's a trap or a diversion.
Yeah, yeah. It's a half a dozen lines throughout the whole movie that he's just like, what's he going to narrate for the dumb people in the audience?
Yes, that's what it throughout, is. That's throughout, the best way to put it, yes.
But a narration that's a movie plot that's almost in every movie. It's to lead the audience on to say, this is the direction the story is going.
Okay.
There are sometimes that is okay to do and they do it well. And then there are other times that it makes you feel like they are assuming that you're an amoeba that decided to watch a movie and you need someone to tell you, by the way, what's happening right now is called a diversion.
By the way, what are midichlorians? I heard Master Yoda
40 minutes later.
Well done, Paul. Well done. So those were the things I didn't like. Not big things, but those are them.
Look, I say if Legolas wants to come to Apollo 13 and say cheesy lines, he can say whatever he wants. Oh, gosh. Just because it's Legolas, I was okay with that. What did you say, Paul?
We're taking the astronauts to the moon.
It's a diversion.
Oh, my gosh. Paul, did you have any things that you didn't like?
He already said the whole movie.
Yeah.
Well, here, let me read a couple more from Facebook, and maybe that'll trigger something for you.
Oh, that's fine.
Lionel Jensky, am I pronouncing that right?
You'll have to ask him.
Dang it. I'm sorry, Lionel, if I'm pronouncing your name wrong.
It's Lionel.
I got that part right. It was an okay flick. A little poor on the acting, which I don't agree with, but that's okay. But the story flowed well. As far as it being a classic, no. It just isn't that memorable. Think Smokey and the Bandit, Up in Smoke, Dirty Dancing, Karate Kid, Dances with Wolves, etc. Those are memorable classics. This one had a lot of hype, some edge of the seat moments, but just wow. Doesn't etch itself into your memory. And then Josh Powers picked up on this and said, I kind of agree with Lionel. While watching it, it feels like one of the best movies ever made, but I forget how good it is weeks later.
Okay.
I need really, reading lessons,
you
apparently.
You should really read these ahead of time in practice or give them to me. Cool. I enjoyed Josh's comment, so thank you, Josh. It made me think differently because it was like putting words to something that I had at the back of my head that I didn't even know.
Oh, so you think this movie is forgettable? Is that basically what it boils down to?
I think that's what they're saying.
Okay, that sounds way harsher than what I was getting at, but...
That's
no,
what it sounds like to me. It's like, it's not even etched in my brain. I just saw it a few weeks ago.
By the way, stop being like that. Secondly, I didn't say that. I said Josh's comment made me think differently about it. And yes, for the most part, when you asked me to recall what the movie was about, what did I remember? Absolutely nothing. I remembered I enjoyed it, and I remembered the soundtrack, and I remember the soundtrack because I had it on a CD that I listened to multiple times, plus a figure skating thing that was probably a couple years later or so. Whatever. That's okay.
But also, how many times have you seen it? Maybe you've only seen Apollo 13 once or twice because it's so long. You don't want to sit through it again. I mean, what?
Interesting point on that, Paul. In the DVD we got from the library, there are two discs, and one of them is an IMAX version of the movie, which is actually like a half hour shorter.
Oh, that's
or
cool.
More.
Ooh,
yeah.
Why didn't we watch that one?
Because our sound system, it would have sound bad because we don't have 5.1 set up.
Oh, I just appreciated Josh's comment. I thought it was well-rounded and honest.
Well, good job, Josh.
By the way, with Lionel's comment, I was like, I don't know any of those movies.
I knew Dirty Dancing and Karate Kid. I didn't know those.
Karate Kid, Dirty Dancing is the one with Nobody Puts Baby in the Corner.
Correct.
Okay, good. Then I do know Dirty Dancing and I know Karate Kid. And I've heard of the other ones, but I don't think I've ever actually seen them. So I was like, they're not etched in my memory.
Oh, Dances with Wolves.
That's Money to Tanka Obachi. That one's etched in my memory.
Whoa.
Someone took my Tamagotchi? What?
At Dances with Wolves, Sumoni Tutanka Owachi? That's how you say it. From the movie, I memorized it. Never mind.
Well, I haven't really seen the movie. That's, you're quoting a line from a movie. Yes. I thought you were talking about another title of a movie. And I'm like,
someone
are you speaking Japanese?
No.
I didn't realize you hadn't seen Dances with Wolves.
Oh, it's a good one.
Haven't seen Dances with Wolves.
I had that soundtrack on cassette tape. Yeah, I did.
All right. Well, back to Apollo 13. Last things. Any last things you guys either disliked or outright hated about it?
Nope.
Okay.
I just want them to tell me why he was sick. Just tell me.
And I
want
to know who took my Tamagotchi.
Brilliant.
Listener, if you know why astronaut Fred Hayes, who is on the Apollo 13 mission, played by Bill Paxton in the movie, what a sickness he had, please let us know. Christy especially is dying to know.
Yeah, I think it would have been great if he would have gotten the measles. They would have mixed it up.
You have that doctor wrong.
No, because then they would have told him, game over, man, game over. Can't go on the mission.
Nice. And then he has to watch out for his son coming down with an axe.
Yes.
All right.
I don't know if anybody else has ever seen that movie.
What movie is that?
Frailty.
Yeah. Yeah, I know where you
see.
Just watch out for Otis. Anyway,
Elevator?
No. Let's move on. Alice, do you have a firing solution for us?
Firing solution complete. Rating salvo at the ready. On your mark.
Yes, it is time for the moment of truth where we tell you whether we think Apollo 13 is a classic or second class. Let's start with Paul.
And why we rated a classic. So I had friends over who'd never seen it. And they're, if they have about 2.5 hours, well, it's not exactly 2.5 hours, but if they're up for a long movie, then I would recommend that they do see it.
Okay.
Because it is inspiring. By the time you get to the end, it's really good story and it's historical based on truth or actual facts. At least based
true on events.
Yes. So yeah, I would definitely recommend it if you hadn't seen it.
Cool. Christy.
You'd think that I'd come up with these before I actually get to the podcast instead of doing it on the fly and letting everyone influence me.
You typically are good on the fly, but yeah. I guess we do influence you.
Okay, so I usually do this in an amalgamation of Paul's ratings and your rating, like how you rate them. Mm-hmm. And also I ask myself, when Sophia's old enough, would I want her to watch it? Would I be like, Sophia, you have to see this movie, but mm-hmm. Mom, it's from 1995. Don't worry, it's worth watching.
Yeah.
I would say yes, because it's a great chance to see a snapshot of space at that time, which you don't get to see now.
Yeah.
I don't know what gravity's going to show us that movie, but I'm certainly not going to be watching that anytime soon, and nor is my daughter. So,
is that based on true events?
No.
I didn't think so.
So that would just make it even more so, like, meh. It's just to scare the pants off of you. But I like the reality of it. I would be intrigued to read the book it's based off of and see how close they are.
I didn't realize there was a book it was based off of.
Yeah. Oh. You check the titles.
Yeah, check the titles.
That's what the book's called? No. Check the titles?
No, in the title sequence at the beginning.
Oh. Thank you.
Jeez. Anyway, you know, if the book was very close to the movie, I would say yes, movie. If you don't want to read the book, if the book and the movie are like Braveheart, Braveheart in history, then I would say check the book out. Like that's what I, talking to
if
my daughter.
If the book is more accurate than the movie.
Yeah, I would, if she's a reader and she wants to learn about stuff like that. But I think in that sense, I would say it's a classic.
Okay.
You're going to give your daughter the option to be a reader or not? Like, I don't want to read, Mom. I don't know how. I don't want to go that way.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said, Paul.
I'm sorry.
No, that's not what I meant. I mean, if you want to read a good book about space, here, read this one.
Okay, cool.
Or read the book over the movie sort of a thing.
So, Francisco, what did you think it was?
I thought it was a classic. I enjoyed it. And, Christy brought up this great, usually... So before I go there, usually my criteria for what's a classic is a movie that I enjoy watching. And even now, I mean, I'm sure I enjoyed most of these movies when I was a kid, but now as an adult, I enjoy watching it. And it's a movie like Christy that I would want to share with our daughter, Sophia, because I thought it was an enjoyable movie that she should see. One other criteria that Christy just sort of made me think about when we were discussing this a little bit is that I didn't fall asleep watching this movie at night.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Which
I almost did.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, at least the first half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I was awake the whole time. Same with Karate Kid, I was awake the whole time. Some movies that I've read second class, I had fallen asleep to Superman. During... No, I didn't fall asleep during Superman, but The Rocketeer, I fell asleep toward the end, and DuckTales, the movie, I fell asleep toward the end.
Yeah.
So I think that I may start having that be an influence on whether or not
I think it has subconsciously.
Yeah, maybe. Like without me putting words to it, it already has made a difference. Very well could be, yes. All right, guys. Well, I'm actually quite surprised. I thought one of you would be a dissenter, but looks like, according to the Retro Rewind podcast, Apollo 13 is a unanimous classic.
Of course.
Boom.
Boom.
I like your trailing. Boom.
That's an awesome there, Paul. Sound.
All right, guys. Let's move on to what's new on our tube. Alice.
New tube systems engaged.
Christy, will you please share what new movie, TV show, book, whatever is on your tube?
Yes, it is a book, and I was reaching for my phone because I needed to find the name of it. Devoured. That's the word I was looking for. I devoured it.
Check the titles. What? The book. Check the titles.
No. Oh, right.
Is that... Oh, never mind.
Cricket. Anyway.
Yeah.
I devoured it in a day and a half, 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And this is... I have a almost 18-month-old toddler at home, and I don't usually spend a lot of time reading. My sister, who just signed her first contract.
Woot.
She has sold her first book, her novel. No title yet or release date, but don't worry, I'll keep everybody up to date on that.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get her on the show when she does.
Yes, she recommends books to me. She reads and writes full-time. That's her job. So she read it in a day. I read it in 2 days. It's called If I Stay by Gail Forman, Forman. You can find it in young adult and also the adult section of your library. I would recommend it. It's a good read. It's really good. It's very
emotional.
Should
I stay or should I go?
Oh, golly.
What's it called?
If I Stay.
Oh, If I Stay or If I Go.
Awesome.
Yes. Good
Thank
book.
Thank you for that recommendation.
Made me cry.
Aww.
What is it like... Is it fiction or nonfiction?
Fiction.
Is it fiction?
Can you give us fiction a brief horror? Synopsis, fiction like one line?
Without giving away a plot point?
Oh, nice, Paul.
or a plot. No spoilers, that's all.
I have a hard time doing that. It is about a girl who.
Okay, that's good.
Goes through something tragic, and it's her journey.
Okay.
And the relationships around her and the choices she has to make because of that.
Okay, that's good.
It's just awesome. Short and easy to read and really powerful.
Very cool. Thank you very much, Christy. Paul, how about you? What's new on your tube?
Mine, I decided to switch it. actually, the other day, about 2 days ago, I saw an old movie. It's an older movie that I had never seen that I've heard about.
Oh.
It's called Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen it either. And so I was like, all right, you know, I'll see what this is about. And I wouldn't recommend it.
It has a goose in it, right? From Top
I think
Gun.
So, yeah. Yeah, it
yes,
does.
Anthony
yeah. Edwards, I think.
Yeah. Right. So if you haven't seen it, I would let this one slide. It's it it focuses on nerds and try and, but like, you're like, okay, maybe they're, it's just not worth the time, in my opinion.
There are lots of people that love it. It's either a love it or hate it movie.
I didn't like it.
I get the impression from the clips I've seen of it that I wouldn't like it either, so I've never taken the time. Yeah. And so now I will never take the time because of you, Paul. Thank you.
So, Francisco, what's new on your tube?
Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
Me and Christy have been watching a TV. It's a new show. I think it's a summer show, but it's still going.
What? Called Downton Abbey?
No.
Don't even talk to me about that show.
He so, likes it.
I'm so angry at it.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think this is one of the reasons why I was in tears at the end of Apollo 13 is because I had been watching this show and my emotions were all off.
Oh my god. Just totally messes with you. We could just have a whole episode just talking about how much I...
So back to Francisco's new tube.
Yeah. Francisco, you're still here.
Christine and I have been watching this TV show called Capture, which airs on the WB that we watch on Hulu. And it's kind of a game show, essentially. But it's like almost trying to take elements from the Hunger Games and make it into
a
show.
Without the killing.
Without the killing, yeah. And without and it's adults, not
so
teenagers.
So it's trapping children?
No, no. Here are the basic rules. There's 12 teams of two, I think. And so 24 people. And they're mixed. Some are guy-guy, some are girl-girl, some are guy-girl. And there are 11 of the teams are the prey teams. And then one team is a hunt team. And the hunt team has to go out and capture one of the prey teams by two of the prey teams, one for each day of their hunt. They have 2 days of hunting. And if they, so they try to capture him by putting this magnetic talon, they call it, on the back of the prey team. And then this just goes on until all the teams are eventually eliminated because who's ever captured can be voted out by the rest of the teams. And so it's just really cool. It's kind of intense to like, is this team going to be captured? Oh my gosh. Oh, are they going to catch anyone this time? It's fun.
Whatever happened to just physical skill? It's kind of like I would love to be, 10 years ago, be on Survivor. If, because I was a Boy Scout, you know, where you know, go out in the middle of the woods and you learn to survive on twigs and stuff. But no, they have to have the social aspect of getting voted out. It's like, you could be like the best and you could actually survive out in the wild. But if you have people that say, you know what, you're a little too good, we don't like you, you're out. And it's like, oh.
Because we're social creatures, Paul.
I know. It's like high school all over again. Let's pick the best. Who's popular? Who's not? It's like, oh, can't we get away from this childishness that doesn't really matter? It's like, I thought surviving was surviving. I thought capturing was capturing, not let's capture him and talk about it. No, if you capture it, you're out. It's like, if a country invades, they're not going to capture you and go, oh, let's talk about it. No, you're dead.
Holy soapbox, Batman.
I know, man. Oh, I'm sorry. So, you like the show? Sounds good.
Whoa.
Yes.
That was amazing, Paul.
I like the show. I would recommend it. Check out Capture on Hulu or the WB.
It's just some popcorn show to watch.
Yeah. No, it actually does sound intriguing, so I want to see it.
Yeah. I know you haven't read The Hunger Games yet, Paul, but I don't think that matters. You saw the first movie?
Yeah, I'm watching
you were
all.
Waiting.
No, I'm watching all the movies, and then we're gonna read the books because the books are better.
Oh, see, I thought you were waiting until all the movies came out, then you're gonna watch all the movies, then read all the books.
No.
Oh, I misunderstood. Okay,
I don't want to be that.
Books are better.
That behind.
Yeah, I don't want to be that separated from society.
Hey guys, I just finished The Hunger Games in the year 2017.
Yes.
All right, Paul. And Christy, let's move on. Alice, will you bring up the communication satellites, please?
ComSat online. Receiving incoming transmission.
We have no feedback this time. But
we're all dead.
That sounds like it's receiving incoming transmission, and that noise at the end sounds like it just drops like this 2-ton box, like full of mail.
Oh, that'd be awesome to get that much feedback.
Because it was a bomb.
Oh, that's sad. But if you'd like to contact the show, we'd love to hear from you. You can comment on the post. Again, retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP21. That's the number 2 and 1. You can also comment on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/retrorewindpodcast. Paul, is there anything you'd like to promote this week, and where can people find you?
People can find me at pauljpowers.com. Anything I'd like to promote? Yeah. What? Yeah. No. No.
No worries. That you don't have to promote.
I was about
anything.
To say, listen to the podcast, but they already are. So there's no point promoting that.
Good
and
point.
And you could find me at pauljpowers.com. We already said, so there's no point in promoting that. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine, Paul. Christy, is there anything you'd like to promote? And any adventures you're about to embark on? And nice. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can get in touch with me by just coming on by. I like visitors. I'm just kidding. That might be a little creepy for both of us.
But you had to figure out our address.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'm up for a challenge.
You can get a hold of me just through the Retro Rewind podcast.com. The .com?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm a good Wi-Fi listen. I'm a good spider now. Name that movie. Anyway.
Is that another English accent?
Yeah, that was from a movie you posted on movies that you want to watch and do for the podcast.
Oh. It's a what was the line?
It. I'm a good spider now. Chula do this. Chula do that.
That.
I'm a good spider now.
Oh, yes. Is that Anastasia?
No.
No.
The flying aw. I love the flying aw.
I have no idea.
Me neither.
But Chula Do This sounds so familiar.
Five Will Goes West.
Oh, that's what.
Oh, with the spider guy. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, my promotion would have to be the lazy eye. Would have to be
5 Will Goes West.
No, listen. This is very important right now. Oh, down to business. I am headed off to Aizawl, Mizoram, India, which is the state of Mizoram, which is that tiny little piece of land off of mainland India, October 10th through the 19th. We are going to an orphanage out there called Gonsabra, where there are 25 children that have been orphaned because of HIV or AIDS. Most of them have HIV or AIDS, and there's a couple that don't, but their parents died of it, and their relatives cannot or will not take care of them. And two teams are from my church are going out there, one a week before me, and then I'll be there for a week and just hanging out with the kids. And we're doing it through a program that supports the orphanage called Orphan Outreach, and you can find them online or just Google Orphan Outreach. And if you like to donate anything, you can donate just directly through to Orphan Outreach, or you can search for the Gonsabra, the Gonsabra Orphanage in India. This Gansabra, I believe. And that will all be in the show notes. And of course, anything that anybody feels like donating is tax deductible. I'm not asking for any donations. We are almost fully funded, just like $100 away for both teams. So
very cool.
But that would be
can
my
I give
promotion.
You the sewing machine?
No, thanks. That's too heavy.
Oh.
We take a tiny little plane from New Delhi to Aizawl, and we can't have there's a certain number of pounds we can take. So.
Oh, well, how big is your team?
There are two teams. I'm on team two, and I think there's 8 of us going, 10 of us.
Cool.
I'm very nervous and very excited.
And I'm very proud of you.
Oh, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the first time that I'll be away and unable to contact my family.
All right.
Six days. We won't have internet.
Cheers for growth.
Ah, thank you. Just pray. If anybody out there listens to this podcast, they're praying people, please just pray for our daughter because she won't, she'll only have a minute understanding of why I'll be gone. So I think that'll be hard near the
end. Yay for growth for her too.
Yeah, exactly. She loves her daddy. That's what's important.
Well, thank you, Christy. And for me, I have this to promote. Wildly different note than Orphan Outreach.
Do you remember playing great PC games like King's Quest, Command & Conquer, and X-Wing? Do you remember spending hours tweaking your config sys and autoexec bat files to eke out just one more K of conventional memory? If you do, then you may be interested in my show, The Upper Memory Block. Every 2 weeks, we talk in-depth about a game, game series, company, or technology from the DOS and pre-Windows XP gaming era. We'll discuss the story, gameplay, and technology of the games of the time. But more importantly, we're going to focus on what made each game special, interesting stories from their development, and how they shaped what PC gaming is today. If you remember gaming in the late 80s and early 90s, or you're interested in finding out more about it, come join your host Joe in the Upper Memory Block. That's the Upper Memory Block podcast at umbcast.com, or find it on iTunes.
Gaming in the late 80s, early 90s. Late 80s, let's see, 89, the Batman movie came out. I had the Batman video game on Nintendo Entertainment System. Does it cover that? No, it's only PC games.
Yes. He just...
What was more popular back then in the late 80s, early 90s? Nintendo. That was Nintendo. Huge.
Yeah, but there's certainly PC gamers. And
what the...
I've played lots of...
That was Francisco's promotion. Nobody bagged on your non-promotion, Paul. Oh,
no, I'm just... All right, edit it out. I didn't mean to bag.
Did you ever play the game Lemmings, Paul?
Yeah.
Well, he just covered that in one of his recent episodes.
Oh, good. I might listen to that.
Oh, sorry, Paul. I was just teasing.
That's fine. It's true.
Yeah, so that's the umbpodcast.com is my promotion this week. For me, though...
UMB Podcast?
UMB Podcast.
Okay. Those are lots of diphthongs in there. Just kidding. I don't think I used that right.
And you can find me, Francisco Ruiz, on Twitter. I'm at FXRUIZX. And you can email the show. Our email is feedback@retrorewindpodcast.com. All right.
What kind of feedback are you looking for out of curiosity?
Oh, that's a great question. You can send us movie ideas or game ideas for what you'd like us to cover. You can send us your memories of recent episodes, like movies, recent movies that we've covered in recent episodes. You can send us your memories of those, and we could, even though we've covered the episode already, we would still share those with other people, with the audience. That's the type of feedback I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I did have one. We got an iTunes rating recently that I thought I'd read.
Whoa, someone finally voted.
Oh, we have 6 ratings on iTunes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, please rate us on iTunes.
Yay for growth.
Nice.
Is that your Pee-wee's Playhouse word of the day, Paul?
Ah!
Oh, that's really good.
I'm just going to bring it up. Christy, I think, knows who this is. I'm curious, Paul, if you would be able to tell what listener this is from. So this is by Costanza0101. Great episode and guest host.
It sounds like you, because you're a Seinfeld fan.
No, it wasn't me, but you're not far off. Was really funny. He made the show more exciting than usual. And he seems like a fun and cool fi. It would be great if he would guest host again. TMNT was a great episode.
It's Katek. Your brother.
I am pretty sure that's Katek. And thank you, Katek, for writing the episode. That was really good of you.
Does it really count when the host
yes.
rates it?
Yes, by all means.
Oh, yes. Yes. It is true.
Well, it would count more if more people would rate it, so we get a more accurate.
And listeners, we would definitely appreciate iTunes rating and review. With that, I want to end the show with thank you, Paul, so much for being on the show as always.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And thank you, Christy, for coming on the show once again.
Oh, yeah, sure. Don't worry. You'll hear me again if we end up doing Five and Goes One.
Thank you, Francisco, for hosting again.
You're very welcome. But most of all, thank you, the listeners, for listening and downloading this podcast, sharing your feedback on Facebook or however you share it with us. And we look forward to catching you later, like a Pokemon, on the next Retro Rewind podcast.
Retro Rewind mission complete. Proceed to Nath Point Omega and return to base.
I've got nothing for this one. Nothing's coming to mind. I can't always think of something to say. Lieutenant Dan, what are you doing here?
That's me, stirred the tanks, and I stirred the tanks. Bye.
Okay, Mr. Bacon.